Shall we turn further, please, to the Epistle of the Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews, chapter 11. And we'll read, please, from verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Now one portion, please, back in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, and chapter 30. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30. And reading, please, at verse 17, but if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Well, God will bless his word to our hearts, what we have been hearing, these portions that we have read. What's upon my mind in the last part of this meeting is to notice some choices. We have the choice that Moses made, and then we have the choice that Moses offered in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Because Moses, who had already made the choice himself, was in a position to present that choice to Israel, and that's what he did in Deuteronomy. Presented that choice to the children of Israel to choose life rather than death, good rather than evil, blessing rather than cursing. And tonight, those of us who have come to know the blessing of salvation through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, it is our desire that you might choose life and might have that life that is eternal, the blessing of God. But I want to notice, first of all, this choice that Moses made, because it was a wonderful choice that Moses made. And yet it was not an easy choice, and it's not always an easy choice to make salvation yours. Sometimes there are difficulties in the way, and we've been reminded already that there are those things that come oftentimes in between the soul of a person who would like to be saved and their salvation. And we trust that tonight everything else will go, and you will make up your mind, I am going to make my choice for Christ tonight. I don't care what it costs. I don't care what it means. I would like to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that all is well with my soul for eternity. When I think about Moses, I'm inclined to think so often of those who have had the opportunity of being raised in Christian homes. When I think of Moses, I think of him as a child born under the sentence of death. Pharaoh had decreed that all of the man children should be put to death as soon as they were born. And you know, every individual in this world is born under the sentence of death because of sin. But I think what a wonderful thing it was that Moses had what we would call today Christian parents. He had parents who had a desire to see the life of Moses spared. And it was God's purpose that Moses should be spared and should one day be a leader in Israel. God only knows what could happen in the experience of an individual if they were to make their choice for Christ, if they were to be brought savingly to the Lord Jesus even this very night. Well, I think about this man Moses as a child born under the sentence of death. And I like to think that though he was born under the sentence of death, with Pharaoh, who would be a picture to us of Satan, doing his best to destroy the life of that man. And I say Satan is busy today, and he's doing everything in his power to destroy the lives of men and women, and spoil them for God, and hinder them from coming to Christ. And if he can stop you getting to the Savior, he'll certainly stop you tonight. There are things coming to your mind, I'm sure, before, in the earlier part of this meeting, there have been lots of things going through your mind tonight, and you've been thinking, well, I would like to be saved. If it weren't for this, or if it weren't for that, or if it weren't for something else, my friend, you'll have to be satisfied to set everything to one side and make that choice for Christ, no matter what it means. I want to tell you, it's the best choice. And you'll find out, not only in this life, but throughout all eternity, the only choice that is worthwhile is to choose Christ as your personal Savior. Here with Moses, he was born under the sentence of death. But then I think, when before that edict was carried out as far as Moses was concerned, his parents had that concern for him. His parents made that little ark of bulrushes, and they put Moses among the reeds in the river. And I often think of that little ark. You know, that's just like the prayers of God's people for their children. We read in the Word of God that when there are saved parents, or a saved husband, or a saved wife, the children or the partner are sanctified. That is, they're set apart by God for special privilege and the blessing of hearing the gospel and knowing the way of salvation. And I tell you, one of the things that I treasure in my experience is that I was born in a family where the Word of God was read, where I had a mother and a father who prayed for me and mentioned my name at the throne of grace. And many and many a time, when I was thinking about growing up and having a good time and getting out in the world, I used to think of my mother's prayers. Often my father went to work early in the morning. But mother always got down on her knees with us there, and she would ask God, mentioning our name at the throne of grace. And why, I tell you, that stuck in my mind. I thought of that the other day when I stood at the casket of my dear mother, and I saw that dear soul who had lived for God, and I thought of the times when, as a lad, she had prayed for my soul, prayed for me before I was born. And then there came that moment when I had to make my choice what I was going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that the prayers of parents are a wonderful thing. And I tell you, if you're in this meeting tonight and you've never been born again of the Spirit of God, I tell you, you cherish the prayers of parents. They have a love for your soul. They have found out the awfulness of what it is for a soul to go into hell. And they know the blessedness of what it is for a soul to be saved for all eternity. And they're praying for you, and they've yearned for you, and they've wept over you. And here was little Moses, and there he was in that ark. I know he was in the river. The river would remind us of sin. But you know, there's some dear parents, and they haven't enough sense today. They let their children get out into the river of sin. push them out into all the things that there are in this ungodly world. Oh, I tell you how careful we need to be as parents, that we preserve them from the dangers that are in the world around us today. I know when they come to age, they have to make their own decisions in this life, but how important it is that we have a concern for the souls of those that are young. And here was this little child, Moses, and there he is. But God preserved him. God preserved him. And I think of the time when Moses came to years. That was the time when it was up to Moses what he was going to do about his own future. And there are those in the meeting tonight, and you're old enough to decide, what are you going to do about your own future? What about what lies beyond? Are you going to have your time in the world and then try and get salvation at the end? It won't work. I can assure you of that. When God is giving you the opportunity now of knowing your sins forgiven, of having heaven as your eternal home, it's folly to wait till a later time. We've had some that have done that. We've known of them, and they're in eternity now. I think of a young man yonder on the shores of Labrador, and he sat and he listened to the gospel, and he decided in gospel meetings that he was going to wait till he was older, and he would have a good time, and then he would get this matter of his soul salvation settled. He went out one day, shortly after that, in a boat with his father. They were around the headland there shooting ducks, and then when they were finished, they came back in. As they came back in, they pulled the little boat, the little dory up on the sandy shore in Lanceleu. And the father jumped out of the boat first. And then the son picked up the gun. He picked it up by the barrel, and he tossed it over to his father. But he slipped, and it came down, and it hit the seat of the boat. And as the thing went off, it was loaded, and the shot went right through his chest. And the dear young fellow died right there in the boat, bled to death. Oh, friend, I tell you, it's a solemn business to put off the matter of one's soul salvation. But here was Moses, and when he came to that time when he could decide for himself what he was going to do. And I want to say, you in the meeting tonight who are not saved, you have to make a decision. You have to make a choice. And I don't know what your choice is going to be, but I trust tonight that you'll make your choice for Christ. It's a tragic thing to go on refusing to come to know Christ as your Savior. A time of decision in this young man's life. What am I going to do? And you know, think of the decision that this man made. Why, it was a noble decision. Oh, I tell you, some people think it's sort of a childish thing or an old womanish thing or something. Have to get religion, as they call it, to get Christ as your Savior. I want to tell you, friend, it takes a real man, a real woman, a real boy or girl, one who is manly or womanly, to make their choice for Christ. We're living in a world when people go this way and go that way, and they just listen to the crowd, whichever way the crowd goes. But friend, it takes a real individual to make their choice for Christ. And I want to tell you, not only is it a noble choice, friend, but it's a personal choice. It's a choice that you have to make. Nobody else can make that choice for you. Nobody else can make it. You have to make it yourself. It may be a costly choice. Oh, think of the cost in connection with Moses. Here was Moses, and he had honor. He could have had the honor, perhaps, of being the Pharaoh one day, a leader in the land of Egypt. But Moses, this man Moses, instead of honor, he chose the reproach of Christ. He chose to take sides with the Christ, with the Lord Jesus. Oh, there came a time in my experience when I decided, it's Christ for me. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the world thinks. We were saying one night there about that college away over in the old country. And over the door of that college, they had words like this. They say, What do they say? Let them say. My friend, what does it really matter what the world says? There are those and they'll find fault with you for getting saved. But I tell you, if they only knew what it meant to have God's salvation, to know that all is well for eternity, to be sure that your soul is going to be safe forever, is worth more than all this world can offer. He chose honor. Instead of honor, he chose the reproach of Christ. It says that instead of the pleasures of the world, the pleasures of Egypt, it says that he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. Oh, he could have had all the treasures of Egypt. And how many there are today, and they're trying to get their treasures down here. Oh, friend, that's all going to pass away. When you go out into eternity, friend, it'll all be gone. Like that man who left a real fortune behind. I don't know how much it was. But they were standing at the graveside, and somebody was saying to one man said to another, he said, how much did he leave? And there was a man heard him behind, and he just stepped in between them, and he said he left it all. He left it all. Friend, you leave it all behind. But when you have Christ as your Savior, oh, what treasure you have in heaven. Treasures laid up there, friend, where moth can't corrupt, where rust can't corrupt, and where thieves can't break through and steal. My treasure's in heaven. And thank God, there's a day coming when we're going there to be with Christ. What about you tonight? Is your soul saved? Oh, I tell you, there have been prayers going up for you. And God isn't going to overlook the prayers of His people. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a sad thing if you go down to a lost sinner's hell. Solemn business indeed. You have to make a choice tonight. Here was Moses, and he chose the treasure. He chose the suffering affliction with the people of God rather than the pleasures of Egypt. He chose the future reward instead of the treasure that he could have had. He looked into the future. He took the long view. You know, that's the difficulty today. People take the short view. They're looking around at the present time. What can I get out of this world? How am I going to get on? And all that. My friend, take the long view. Eternity lies ahead. We're here for a moment and we're gone forever. And nothing else really matters but where that soul of yours is going to be 5 minutes after you die. Oh, friend, that's all that really matters in this life. It doesn't matter whether you've got a lot or a little. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter the strata of society you might be in. It doesn't matter all these other things are really irrelevant when it comes to the matter of your soul. It's heaven or hell for all eternity. And friend, you have to make a choice. What are you going to do tonight? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your soul will be asking, what will he do with me? There's no neutral ground. You're either for Christ or you're against him. You either have eternal life or you haven't got eternal life. Friend, what are you going to do tonight? The wages of sin we read is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, he wants you to have that gift tonight. He wants you to have eternal life. It reminds me of a man and his wife. They were walking along the street in the old country, and they came across some people that were having an open-air gospel meeting. And one of the men in that circle, he had stepped out and he was preaching on that text that I just quoted. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And they stood and they listened for a little while in the circle, just outside the circle. For the man wasn't very interested in what he was hearing. And he said to his wife, Mary, he said, come on. He said, let's go. No, she said, let's stay and listen. And they stayed a few moments longer, and finally persuaded her to go. And even as she was going, it was ringing in her ears, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." He turned to her as he pulled her away, and he said jokingly, "Mary," he said, "you take the gift." He said, "I'll take the wages," not really thinking what he was saying. He went down into the mine that night to work. That night there was an explosion in the mine. And that dear man was caught under tons of earth that fell from the roof of that mine. And he went out into eternity. And while that was all going on down in the mine, that dear woman, the Word of God had got into her soul as she was at home, as she was down on her knees, as she was wanting God's salvation. And she thought of the words again that she had heard. "The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Oh, she said it through the work of Christ on the cross. And there on her knees, she trusted Christ as her Savior. He had said those solemn words, "Mary, you take the gift, I'll take the wages." That's the way it turned out. Friend, what's it going to be for you tonight? Are you going to take the gift? Or are you going to reap the wages of sin, which is death, eternal separation from God? You must choose tonight. What is your choice going to be? This man Moses, he made a costly choice, but he made a noble choice. It was a personal one. And friend, it's personal. You have to make it. Nobody else can make it for you. I tell you, if we could save people, we'd be out that all the time, trying to get people saved. We can't save you. Friend, that's the work of God. And you have to come as a personal, it's a personal matter. You have to come as a poor sinner and receive the Savior for yourself. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and salvation can be yours. It can be yours tonight. Come make thy choice. The poet says, "For life or death eternal. Christ to the world, the broad or narrow way. The Father's home, unending joy or sorrow. Choose today." Come make thy choice. God waits for thy decision. Oh, wilt thou not, as conscience bids thee, say, "I will, I do despise the world's false vision," and for the cross of Jesus, choose today. Friend, what is your choice going to be? Moses, he brought before the people a choice. He said to Israel, "Choose you this day." What are you going to choose? Are you going to choose blessing or evil? Life or death? I have set before you life and death. Therefore, he says, choose life, that thou and thy seed may live. And friend, our plea tonight would be to you, choose life. Choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Time is short and eternity is real. How did Moses make this choice? It says he made it by faith. By faith. He stepped out on the promises of God. He stepped out on the Word of God. He stepped out on the knowledge that he had of the God of Israel, and the God that was able to bless, and the God that was able to keep. And friend, tonight, you have to step out by faith on the Word of God and believe what God says. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. In the very moment you take God at his word, salvation can be yours. Oh, that's what happened in my experience. Just stepped out on the Word of God. Believe what God said. What did he say? He told me that I was a sinner, and I believed it. And I believed that I'd have been in hell if I had died in my sins. But I read the Word of God, and it says that my sins were laid on Jesus. That Jesus bore those sins on the cross. By believing, I could be healed, I could be saved. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And it dawned on my dark soul that all my iniquities, all my sins were laid on Jesus. And friend, the very moment I saw on the cross the Lord Jesus bearing my sins, by the eye of faith, I entered into the joy of sins forgiven and peace with God. That peace can be yours tonight. That salvation can be yours, but you have to make the choice. What are you going to choose, friend? Will you choose life, or are you going to choose the wrong path? I heard about a young man, and he came to the crossroads in his life one day. He had been attending gospel meetings, and he wanted to get God's salvation. But he thought about his friends, and he thought about the good times. And then he was going off. He thought he would go to the meeting, but on the way to the meeting, he remembered that there was a dance going on just down the road the other way. And he came to a point in the road where he had to make a choice. And he stood there for quite a while, trying to decide what he would do. Will I go to the gospel meeting? Will I get this matter settled now? Or will I go down to the dance and go to the gospel meeting the next opportunity? He thought, I can get saved. I can get saved another night. He made his way off down to the dance. Oh, friend, he made the wrong choice that night. Because before he had the opportunity to sit at another gospel meeting, that young man was in eternity. Friend, he went out to meet an angry God in his sins. Come make thy choice. What will it be tonight? Are you going to choose Christ as your Savior? You going to believe the message of the gospel? Are you going to go away without the Savior? I want to tell you, friend, we've been hearing such solemn things in the last little while. Souls going out into eternity. Some going out that were raised under the sound of the gospel, and they've gone out without Christ, without a Savior. I tell you, it's a solemn thing to miss the salvation of your soul forever when God is offering you that salvation that can be yours and can be yours tonight. Oh, certainly it might cost something. It might cost your friends, but I want to tell you, you get a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And you get other friends. I remember some dear folk, and they couldn't understand getting salvation. They said, but what about all our friends? But oh, when they got down to business about the matter of their soul, and they got to Christ, woman came to me shortly after, and she said, you know, Mr. Joyce never knew it was possible. She said, I got far more friends now than I ever had before. And she said, they're real friends. And she said, I know Christ is my Savior. No, I wonder sometimes what the poor unsaved, what do they do when there's sickness, when there's sorrow, when there's bereavement, when there's trial, when there's sadness, where do they go? Who are their friends? Oftentimes, your friends melt away when you're in trouble. But oh, thank God, the person that knows Christ is their Savior, they have a friend that never fails. Never failing. The unfailing one at God's right hand. The man that bears the marks of Calvary. The man that was wounded for your transgressions. Bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of your peace was laid upon him. And with his stripes tonight, you can be healed. Oh, friend, won't you come to Christ? Won't you make your choice for the Lord Jesus? Moses made the right choice. And then he offered the choice to Israel. Friend, what are you going to do with Christ tonight? Joshua put it this way. When he spoke to Israel, he said, choose you this day whom you will serve. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Friend, tonight, choose you this day. And another put it like this. Elijah said, how long, halt you between two opinions? How long do you halt? Old friend, don't put it off longer. We feel that the danger is great. We realize that the day of opportunity is almost over. The door of mercy will soon be closed forever. The Lord could come tonight. Meetings have been announced the rest of the week. That's true. But Jesus might come tonight, and your chances would be over forever. You'd be left behind for judgment. If something could happen, friend, and you could be cut off, and your opportunity. Choose Christ tonight. God help you to make that choice before it's too late. The day of grace is fast coming to a close. And it's our desire, the desire of all heaven. It's God's purpose, friend, that you should be saved. And he gave his son to die for your sin. Can't you trust him? Can't you believe the message? He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. It can be yours tonight. If you have just come as a poor sinner and take Christ as your Savior, choose Christ tonight for his name's sake. Shall we pray? Our God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we come to thee. We thank thee for the privilege of opening thy word. And, O God, we do pray for those who are in our meetings still without Christ. O God, we long to see precious souls gathered in. We realize the solemnity of a soul going out without Christ. We realize, Father, the danger of that door being closed and salvation's day being over. And while those of us who are saved, we look forward with joy to the moment when we'll be with and like our blessed Lord. Father, our hearts long and yearn that sinners might be brought to the Savior. Thou knowest those who are here tonight who have been prayed for and wept over. And Father, we do desire that thou have mercy upon them and grant that precious souls might see their need and flee to the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for their sin at Calvary. We ask thy blessing, commend us to thee, and give thee our thanks. In the precious name, Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Shall we just sing before we go? Verse or two of number 29. Come unto me. It is the Savior's voice, the Lord of life, who bids the heart rejoice. O weary heart, with heavy cares oppressed, come unto me, and I will give you rest. The last verse says, life, rest, and peace, the flowers of deathless bloom the Savior gives us, not beyond the tomb, but here and now on earth, some glimpses given of joys which wait us through the gates of heaven. We sing the first and the last two verses, 1, 3, and 4, and the meeting will be over.